I'm recording.
Good morning, James.
There you go. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. Can this be about me today?
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me a bunch of questions, but we can do you.
We can do both.
I don't know if there's enough time for that.
There's enough time for everything. It's our podcast, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't want to spend all day on it.
Okay. James, what is this podcast about?
Yes. What do you want it to be about?
I don't know.
Well, we don't know either. This is our second one. This is why we were going to do three of them.
Right.
And then throw them away and then start out. We're not going to throw them away. We're gonna publish them.
Okay.
But, you know, it takes time to get our legs and figure. I think we're going to talk a lot about art.
I think a lot about art.
I think we're going to be condescending and sarcastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we're probably going to talk about Phoenix.
Oh, Phoenix.
Why are you sighing when you say Phoenix?
No, I don't know. I'm just commiserating.
I'm not miserating, so you can't commiserate with me. But I like Phoenix.
I like Phoenix. It has its moments.
Well, it has great trails and it has Costco. I don't know what more you want out of the city.
Costco, I know. Where can you go? Everywhere
and
to
it
get
doesn't
Costco,
rain.
But it's here too.
No.
You can't?
No. Do not take Costco for granted.
Really?
When we lived in New York, it was like a 40-minute drive to Costco.
Oh, I see.
So we went there twice a year.
And they're on every corner here, so it is pretty convenient.
Yeah, it's much better. Yeah, okay. You can actually shop here.
I'm going to go to Costco. That's one of the things I need to do to break out of my pandemic funk.
Have you not been to Costco?
I have not been out of the house since March 13th of 2020, I saw you a week ago.
I broke the seal.
Yeah, it was hard.
Because then, did you go to the park yesterday?
That's what we wanted to talk about.
No, I was just asking if you went to the park.
It's a story.
Well, please, proceed.
Okay. This is what I call my segment called Pandemic Musings or Post-Pandemic Musings. We were going to go to the park and, you know, I know today is Memorial Day. I don't know if we want to say that. And what I'd like, and I know what Memorial Day stands for and all of that. And I recognize that and respect it. I would also like to remember spontaneity. Spontaneity is out the window. We were going to go to the park. There's a beautiful botanical gardens in Phoenix, and some friends were up from Tucson. We were going to go to the botanical gardens. We talked about it, planned it. No one thought that there would be limits and tickets and times to report. So we got up, got ready. We're going to go, and we're just instantly surprised that all the times were sold out.
So do you check this online ahead of time? Or that
well,
morning?
Not ahead of time
no,
enough.
But that morning.
Yeah. And no. So all the times, and so then everyone starts angsting and they want to do something else. So they decide to go to the MIM, the Music Instrument Museum in Scottsdale. And I'm down with that. And there's a Congo exhibit on loan from Hong Kong or something. It's supposed to be amazing. And so I call the MIM. I'm like, I'll research it. You guys suck at this. And so we're going to research it. So I hardcore research it. And the gal, I just talked to someone at the MIM. They actually answered their phone. And the gal was super nice. And she's like, this is the busiest day we've had since we reopened. It is like a crush. If you come here, you'll probably be turned away. Hmm. You need to pick a time. We'll try to be flexible. Get everyone in your group and get here. So I make the calls and we order everything online. And I'm ready to head out the door. And for whatever reason, I started hearing it's like the biggest crowds we've had. And I just envisioned like this crush of humanity, all maskless, wandering around, breathing out like COVID vibes.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be maskless, but it, you know, it certainly doesn't
sound. Well,
they
can only recommend, you know, even though they have had masks at the door.
Okay, but we went to Bass Pro Shop over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Now, if we compare the maskless rates of those two places, I think one is going to be substantially higher than the other one.
And I understand that now. So anyway, so I'm
but
standing.
But even so, it's not a question of the maskless or mask for me. It's just masses of people do not sound like a good way to see
well,
a
that's
museum.
What a friend reframed it. So I got my stuff packed up in my car and I was ready to go. All of a sudden, I had the most horrific panic attack. And I thought, what is this about? So in the throes of this, someone else called me. And I'm like, I think I'm afraid of the maskless hordes. And she's like, no, you just don't like crowds.
Yeah.
She's like, let's rewind. She's like, let's reframe it and rewind. Today's 2018. You made the same call. They said it was a busy day. What would you do? And I said, I wouldn't go. She's like, it's not about COVID.
There you go.
And I didn't go.
So what, did you just hang around your house all day?
I hung around my house. I cleaned some stuff. I knitted a few things.
You know what you could have done?
And I watched Dirty John.
You could have brought all your friends out for a podcast. We could have done a live podcast.
We could have. Oh, they would have loved. You would love these people. They're crazy.
I doubt it because they're people. Plus, you said they're from Tucson?
They're from Tucson.
Ugh, they're the worst, aren't they?
They're awesome. No, they're just open-minded and free-loving, and I felt so bad. And I'm like, now I'm going to lose more friends. It's like, it's not enough that, you know, I'm alienating the racist and the QAnons, but now I'm going to eradicate good people because I'm too nervous to go to the freaking MIM.
Do you want to bring back the racist and the QAnons?
No. That's good that because it's gone. It was just a surprise.
I'm sure we can find something.
It was a surprise. They're gone. It's gone. Okay. And enough of that. I don't want to get off on a rant here.
Oh, another one. Okay. You don't want a sub-rant.
I don't want a sub-rant. So that was my rant. And so
is that a website? That should be a website. Sub-rant. Because, you know, subreddit.
Oh, like subreddit, sub-rant. Yeah. If it's not used, let's use it for this podcast.
Sub-rant. That could be one.
We need a Reddit.
I think you may have just named our show.
And a subreddit. Maybe.
Sub-rant.
We'll marinate on that.
We'll put a pin in that.
What else do they say? We can marinate.
Put it in the parking lot.
Yeah, we can pay paradise. What?
Who?
Who?
You going to stripper clubs or something? Who's paradise?
I just love, speaking of strippers, I love coming back to this neighborhood and in my mind telling people from North Scottsdale, turn right at Band-Aids.
What's Band-Aids?
Band-Aids Show Lounge.
I never understood that name. I've been looking at that name for 10 years and I still don't understand what it's supposed to be.
I don't know. I don't care. I've never been in there. I've just turned around in their parking lot to make a U-turn once or twice.
That's really weird. You accidentally turn in their parking lot to make a U-turn. That's like I can't even imagine what U-turn you're trying to make.
I don't know, but I recall doing that. I think I might have been wasted.
You just want to rub up against them.
No. But anyway,
okay, you're wasted. That
but that I love coming here because I can turn right at Band-Aids again. It's like, I love it. Anyway, enough of that.
I saw a cute girl walking past Band-Aids the other day, and then she turned to go into it, and suddenly she wasn't cute anymore.
Oh, no.
I guess I'm just a bad person. I judge people. I don't judge her for doing that. I'm just like, you know, I don't know. It was really weird. She was definitely very cute, and then she's walking right in front of Band-Aids, and then she took a right-hand turn into Band-Aids. It's like, oh, okay.
Wow. I'm not even sure where to go with that.
I'm judgmental and a puritanical judgmental asshole.
No.
And that's before I've even had my coffee.
I know, we need more coffee. Okay.
Did you want to ask me another question, or do we have to follow up on the MIMS or anything like that?
No, the MIMS. I stayed home and I wrote about it a little bit and I kind of angsted and I wondered if I'd ever be normal again. Not a new normal. I hate the term new normal. Let's just call it normal. Let's just get rid of new. There's no new normal.
Well, things are going to be different.
Things are going to be different. And I realized, like, hardcore, like cold water poured on you in a shower, that spontaneity was off the table.
Oh.
And it really got to me.
For now, that'll change, though.
And it really got to me for a moment. I mean, not a moment, for about 4.5 hours.
Things will get back to normal. I mean, okay. I'm sorry. What I meant to say, spontaneity-wise.
Okay.
And things will even out.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen... This is my assumption. I don't know if you notice this, but over the past year, the trips to the parks and outdoor recreational areas skyrocketed.
Yes.
And every week I watched as people in North Mountain, the parking lot kept getting fuller and fuller, and I kept having to move to the higher and higher parking lots, which is no problem for me because I know all the parking spots. But the last time I was out there, I got one of the last parking spots in one of the last parking areas.
Really?
Which I've never seen that before, unless it's like a really crazy busy holiday weekend. And this was just a normal day of the week. So I was a little bit perturbed by that. Oh, but my point being is that I think that's going to drop off and be replaced by an overwhelming crush of people going back to places they haven't been able to go to, like museums and bars and strip clubs. I don't know. I don't even know if Band-Aid's ever closed. It's essential service, right?
I think it was deemed essential by Ducey.
Ducey? I mean, Ducey? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, right. I think he deemed it essential with golf courses during that first mandate. Well-being, mental health.
I'm sorry, I had to have a cookie.
Relaxation. I'm not sure.
Let's take just a second for a break so I can eat my cookie.
Okay, I will eat a cookie also. The only other thing I wanted to bring up before we just move on. Did you read that article? There were several articles about science zapping clouds with electricity to create really big raindrops.
No.
No, they're doing that.
Good.
And the only thing I wanted to ask you was, wasn't that the beginning of that movie called Snowpiercer, when they messed with the environment?
They were doing something. I think they were trying to, I don't remember what I think they were trying to correct global warming, and they overcorrected.
Right.
And I watched that movie because of you.
Did you? We were going to talk about that movie, but not, today's probably not the day. But I just saw that as I was, you know, angsting yesterday. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's Snowpiercer.
I think you're stretching that a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, if we die, you know, a year from now, if we're all being murdered by huge drops of water, you know, like car-sized drops of water that are coming out of the sky, then, yeah, I think then you have a point. Otherwise, no.
Well, there are no trains like Snowpiercer anyway.
Not that you know about.
I know, right? I mean, who
knows? I have some friends. Actually, I knew this guy in college. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. not college. Graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Lancaster.
Mm-hmm.
He was... So I went to design school.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a shop, and we had, when I say shop, I mean a wood shop and a metal shop and a plastic shop all kind of rolled into
one. The real deal.
He was the old guy who didn't run the shop. That was Chris. Chris ran the shop.
Okay.
But Jack basically took care of all the tools.
Okay.
Jack was a little bit of a crotchy old man, and he was tiny too. He's like, I don't know, 5'5" maybe, and weighed nothing. But you wouldn't mess with Jack. I mean, you wouldn't mess with Jack because he just had that vibe
okay.
of a serious guy. And, of course, he didn't take his job too seriously. He did his job well, but he's like, you know, I'm dealing with a bunch of kids. Who cares?
Right.
So on the weekends, what he would do for fun was to go out and collect trains.
Oh, the little trains?
No. Trains.
Big trains.
Yes. Whatever they could get their hands on.
Really? That's interesting.
He showed me pictures. He had this group where and these guys, and he showed me pictures of the yard that they had built with all these engines and cabs and tracks. And
I love it.
Yeah, this weekend we're going down to Georgia to pick up another 18-ton train.
I love it.
I was like, what do you do with those things? Well, we run them. We fix them up and we run them.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I always wanted to live on a train like in the Wild Wild West shows.
Okay. You know, that can be done. You can do that. You know,
I would
we
love
actually
that.
Had Mike Swain on Heatstroke podcast.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about trolleys. And he was talking about how they found a couple of trolleys mm-hmm. in mobile home parks
okay.
here in Phoenix.
Really?
Because people had turned them into, after the trolleys had been murdered, some people had turned them into, quote, tiny homes. Just so you millennials know, you did not invent tiny houses. Yeah, they were doing that in like the 20s.
They were doing that, yeah, for a long time. Right.
So, yeah, it's out there. And there's one, they're still trying to find a trolley that they think is somewhere in the desert.
That's so awesome. Yeah. That'd be so much fun. Because I just wanted, like, all of that, like, weird brocade fabric they had in that show.
What show?
The Wild Wild West. Oh. I was watching reruns of the original one, not the one with Will Smith.
I don't think I've ever seen that show.
It's just crazy. And I don't even know why. I guess I caught it on something on Dish.
You caught it?
On the Dish Network. I mean, whatever I was watching. And then they had, and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to live in this little, because it was like the tiny house movement was getting going. It was years ago I saw this. And I thought, I think I want to live in a little, that'd be so cute.
I would have a hard time seeing you living in a tiny home. I think you need a little more space to spread out some of your interests.
I'm a maximalist.
I mean, where are you going to put the mannequins?
Where am I going to put the mannequins?
Yeah.
I don't know, but six of them are MIA.
I mean, they're going to need their own tiny house.
They have their own room right now.
I know, but if you were in a tiny house, they would need their own tiny house.
Yes. Well, that's what I would probably do. I thought about that, and I sketched out a plan for my tiny house, and I ended up with like five different tiny houses on one area, set up in a grid with a big fire pit in the middle and like a pizza oven. And I thought that would be the perfect place and just have, you know, I don't want, after all the issues I've had with old houses in Phoenix and water, God forbid. It's like I need water features like a step or two down in the back of the house where I could do whatever in the living space and just have the water in the back, because if it floods, it messes you up.
Yeah, you want to build a house that doesn't flood. That is kind of table stakes.
Yeah. Yeah, no laundries in the middle. No everything in the middle. You know, it's like, let's do it. Let's do it. Don't hit the mic.
Don't hit
I'm
the
sorry.
Mic, Catherine.
Okay, I won't pound the table either. But like no laundry in the middle, no bathrooms in the middle, no water features. Just have it a step down in the back, a main line right from the water. If it floods, it floods.
Have I explained to you how much I hate architects?
No. Is it on par with Warhol?
They're in the neighborhood.
Okay.
People might ask me why I hate architects.
James?
Yes?
Why do you hate architects?
Have you seen architecture?
I have seen architecture.
That's why I hate architects.
Okay.
There are a few good ones. I've actually known some good architects.
Okay.
But most of them are terrible. Really bad.
Okay.
The funny thing is, when I was in art school, we had an architecture department and we had an industrial design department. I was in industrial design. Occasionally, we would cross-pollinate, and I've seen a couple of their critiques.
Mm-hmm.
And if, for those who don't know, the art critique is a thing in and of itself. You get a bunch of students together after they've completed whatever assignment they've been working on, whether that be a painting, a sculpture, a chair, or a small office building. And then the students go around talking about, you know, critiquing it, thinking, the point is to learn and to evaluate and to learn. But invariably, the architecture critiques, every single one I've been in, were just different people trying to figure out new and cruel ways to criticize each other.
Oh.
It was nothing at all about being constructive or helpful or generous.
Oh, that's too bad.
As opposed to industrial design, which was basically the opposite.
That's too
and
bad.
And then the art classes were totally hysterical because most of them were just nonsense, gibberish. They were learning how to speak art. Art speak.
Yeah, I found that too. That's interesting.
And so I actually thought about, my plan was when I went to art school, I was going to study painting. But I spent a year in the foundation department, which is everyone does. And during that year, I discovered how utterly bankrupt the painting department was of talent. And I discovered industrial design, and I switched over to that, thankfully.
Oh, I love it. I didn't know that about you.
Well, there you go.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. I filled a huge hole.
Okay. We could be the hole fillers.
The hole fillers.
We fill holes.
That just sounds like...
Okay, that's bad.
Yeah, there's just too many connotations.
It sounded good in my head.
It's not. Yeah, a lot of stuff sounds good in my head. And that's where it ends.
All right, so do you want to talk about one of the big topics, or you had a lot of questions you came
here
with?
Oh, I had a lot of questions. Let me pull up my questions. Yeah, this was a long week for me, James, and I decided that I was weary of the internet, and I just wanted to ask you, how many passwords are enough?
I mean, honestly, there are never enough passwords.
Really?
Yes. And I'll tell you why. I mean, that's just a technical reason. I'm not trying to be flippant or philosophical on this.
Okay. I really need to know.
From a practical standpoint, if you can remember your password, it's not secure.
I can't remember anything.
Good.
Okay.
Well, that's not necessarily good. You should have that checked. Are you drinking enough coffee?
I don't know. I may need, like, I don't know.
How much coffee do you drink?
I drink about maybe 3 to 4 cups a day.
That should be enough.
Yeah, and then I have
as
tea.
As a designer, I don't really think I probably shouldn't be commenting on your drug intake, but I'm going to.
Okay.
That seems like it's enough coffee.
So, yeah, I need to keep that caffeine level up to stave off the headaches that come if I don't do it. So that's the level I'm at.
Fantastic reason to do that. So the reason you want passwords is because you want long, complicated passwords that are too complicated to remember so that they can't be hacked.
Got it.
And everything should have its own password.
Right.
Now, because we're humans, there's no way we could keep track of all that.
No.
So you need a program to keep track of them. And there are plenty of programs out there that help you keep track of these things.
Okay.
OnePass and LastPass are two that come to mind.
Okay. I'll have to look into that because I tried to pay my Verizon bill. It used to be bundled with the phone service.
Well, there's your first mistake.
Right.
Don't pay Verizon.
Oh, God. Well, I got a text. It's like, your bill's ready. I'm like, now it's like not bundled, so I'm getting the bill. And I was just waiting for mail because I guess I'm an analog person, which is what I was going to talk to you about next. But long story short, I'm waiting for the bill, and then bam, I get this weird text that I'm like in arrears. And so I call Verizon, and then I can't even log in. So I log in, and then I'm like on my Verizon, and I'm trying to do this whole thing. And I forgot like the supersonic secret answer to the vetting question. Like, what was the first concert you ever went to or whatever? I felt so screwed. And it was like, for what would have taken, like if I had opened a piece of mail, written the check and mailed it, it was like about 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Okay, but imagine a millennial trying to do that. Open a piece of mail. And then write a check.
That's too much?
No, I'm just saying, you are familiar with that process. But
yes.
People who have never written a check before, you hand them a check and they say, well, I don't understand. What are you telling me to do?
I know, it's such a difference, isn't it?
The check is a very simple concept, but if you're not familiar with it, it's kind of a weird thing. And it is definitely a weird thing. We're the last country in the world, I think, that uses checks. No one else uses checks anymore.
I know.
But, you know, technically, you don't need a printed check. You can just take a slip of paper and write paid to the order of and give it to someone and then they can take it to your bank and they're supposed to
honor
that. Yeah.
That's creepy.
It's stupid is what it is, which is why we don't really have, we should probably shouldn't be using checks anymore.
Right.
But the process, if you were a little more digitally friendly, the digital process would be easier. And one of those things is having a password manager. In that password manager, so you can fill in the website, you can fill in the username and the password, but there's also a notes section, and I make heavy usage of the notes section.
Okay, I'm going to have to look into this. Thank you.
Yeah. So, like, I'll put down the answers to all the secret questions, because okay. I don't remember what I said.
I don't remember, and I make stuff up because...
You should.
I feel like it's, like, intrusive, and they would know, like, the name of my dog when I was 12 or something. It's like, I don't want to give away any personal information.
Well, that's something that people can also find.
Right, and I just kind of make it
theory.
Up. Yeah, because I'm making it up, it's not real, and then I really can't remember it.
I mean, if I put down my first dog, my brother knows that. I don't want my brother getting into my account.
Right.
He would totally take all my money.
That's not good, James. Okay, well, that's all I had on that. I just, these experiences,
a lot more to analog and digital than just that.
I know, but, and that's, and analog and digital is probably for another day. I mean, but long story short, I think that it's like, again, part of this pandemic fatigue, because my life was pretty simple. You know, I'm kind of a simple person. I just like to do simple things. I'm not like fancy. And I didn't really do a lot of the online stuff as much as most people did, because I didn't have a need to do it.
Okay, you say you're a simple person.
Yes, I'm not.
But that's like a woman saying, I just have a really simple order. I want the chicken salad, but could you put beef in there instead? And instead of lettuce, could you put bread? And instead of dressing, could you put ketchup and
Or put it on the side.
Oh, put it on the side. And cook it at 305 degrees for 15 minutes. I'm saying that not because you're outwardly a complicated person, but you have a lot of stuff going on in your head.
It's all in my head.
Well, that doesn't make you not complicated. That makes you complicated.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking outwardly, or just how I approach things. I don't like to take the long, circuitous road.
Well, the fact that you've lost 6 mannequins also suggests that even outwardly, maybe...
And I have no memory.
I mean, I'm not trying to deconstruct Catherine here, but you're kind of a complicated person.
Okay.
You're layered. You have many baskets.
I have many baskets.
Many baskets.
And they're all over the floor of my studio.
There you go. You have a studio. Most people don't have studios.
Yeah, home studio.
They may have gun racks, but not studios.
Gun racks. Yeah, people are buying guns.
So I was at Bass Pro Shop this past weekend, and I don't have to wear a mask because I'm fully vaccinated, so I'm not going to do anything to anyone.
Right.
But I feel kind of obliged to wear a mask if the employees of a store are wearing a mask. It seems kind of rude to not wear a mask.
Agree.
If they're
100%.
Having to wear a mask, I'm going to wear a mask.
100%.
They have to wear 8 hours a day. I only have to wear it for 20 minutes while I'm in the store. Anyway, there was a large percentage of unmasked people in Bass Pro Shop, which I didn't really care about, but it seemed a little bit rude to me. But we did walk past the gun section, and I forgot. And Bass Pro Shop is an absolutely massive place. It makes Walmart look like a kindergarten. So it's small within that space, but I've forgotten just how overwhelming their gun desk is.
I've not ever been there.
It goes on and on and on. There are shotguns and assault rifles and pistols. I don't know how many pistols they have. It's like maybe hundreds, probably hundreds, probably not 1,000, but probably hundreds of pistols. It's pretty overwhelming.
And people were buying?
Do you want me to pick up one next time?
There was
a line for the gun desk.
I'm not a gun person, but I do have a story about that.
Let's hear it.
Years ago, I worked for what's now Banner. And I met one of my best friends of my whole life there, Nancy, who was involved with the, went to school during the time of Kent State and was involved in the Kent State, like all the riots and everything. I won't go into her story because it's her story. Well, one of the first things, like we were talking and she found me, like I get safe and we just had a blast. And she's like, I've wanted to do something with someone for a while. Could our first outing be something kind of just off the cuff? I'm like, sure. And she's like, since Kent State, I've had this incredible fear of firearms. And what my husband has suggested and what I've thought about a lot, I need to get over that fear. So I'd like to take a gun class at Shooter's World. So let's do that. So I barely knew this guy. We'd gone out for a couple drinks, whatever. And that was our first outing. We still talk about it all these many years later. It's like over 20. I mean, it's a long time. And so we went to Shooter's World. So my dad, I guess, had a little pistol. And it was just little. It's just tiny and was all pristine. And no one ever, like, any guns he has are like old guns and they're like collectibles and they're dually locked up. And I don't think they even work. But he did have this little pistol. So I brought this little pistol and the guy kind of laughed. And we went through the gun thing. And it was like three weekends or something we went and did. So they talked about guns and the pieces of guns. And I was instantly scared. And then the first class, he shot the guns. And then the second class, we talked about target practice, and then we shot the guns. And my gun was so tiny, it didn't pierce the paper.
What? No.
It didn't pierce the paper. It made just a little teeny hole.
If it makes a hole, that's still piercing.
Okay, it pierced, but it didn't pierce.
No, okay, so it didn't. It was maybe a 22? A 22 pistol?
It was just little. I don't know.
Bring it next time.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
No, I don't even want to touch it. And so by the third class, he gives me another gun. He's like, that one, I just don't even deal with this. He goes, we got to use a gun. And so he wanted me to shoot this bigger pistol. Mm-hmm. And he goes, there'll be a little. And I thought there was like massive kickback. I mean, I was just acting like it was some big old thing, and it wasn't, but it hurt my hand and it was big. And then we learned what he called, and I don't know if it's a real thing or if he was just playing with us. It was a South African death drill, two to the chest and one to the head. And so we had to shoot these paper things, and I got really good. I was just like, so for that period of time, that hour or whatever, I was obsessed with the South. And he's like, you're really good. You're a good shot. And I never picked up another gun, because at that point I realized it was such a powerful instrument that it literally almost brought me to my knees, like in awe of the destructive power of this like piece of metal, this fabricated piece of metal in my hands with like weird stuff inside of it that explodes on impact. And I didn't understand how other people couldn't have so much awe that they wouldn't ever want to pick it up and hurt someone.
Well, do you see how people get so wrapped up in them now?
I did, but it wasn't like a path that was going to go down. I think there was power in everything. It was a thrill, and you know, it was this weird. But it also, the juxtaposition of like the awe I felt of the destructive nature of this particular tool of mankind. And I seriously, I brought the little tiny gun home and to my dad, and he cleaned it and put it in the gun case, and it has been there these many years. I have not picked up a gun. I don't understand how people can be so willy-nilly about this. Now, I feel like it's willy-nilly, and then you look at all this gun violence, and it's humans, why don't they have the awe?
Humans get wrapped up in a thing, and they get wrapped up in a thing. And as you're saying, they're very evocative. I mean, you get sucked into it. Those things are... Not only is the premise of tools, everybody loves tools.
Right.
Everybody has their tool that they love, right, whether that be a sewing machine or a bandsaw. Everybody has something that they
love. Right.
And so this is a tool, and this is one of the most destructive tools you can have.
It was mind-blowing.
And they cater to every possible conceivable variation of how to project a little piece of metal quickly out of a barrel. The gun industry has filled every possible niche that I can think of.
Right. Yeah. But I wondered, and I've kind of explored that, not a lot in my writing, but it's like, why did I have such, I got the kind of sexiness of it, I mean, if you will, to the point where it was so clear to me how destructive it was. And I was just in awe of like the creators of these weapons and of the whole concept of these weapons and the potential for these weapons. And it literally brought me to my knees and to never want to touch it again. It's I had so much respect for it that I needed to put it away. It's like, and I won't be picking. And I've had a lot of friends who are, oh yeah, like someone will have a gun in your head. Like, it's like, no, they're like insisting that I would do something. First of all, I can't get into the gun safe. Second of all, I don't know that I don't know what I would do. I don't think I would shoot a person. I just found it so, it was just mind blowing.
Well, see, I think that's what we need to. You need to bring the gun now and have it with you. So, and then I will taunt you the whole next show and see if I can get you to shoot me.
Maybe a water pistol. That even seems
that
too,
would ruin my computer. Get
but
out
that
of
even
here.
Seems too violent to me. I'm a peaceful person.
Liberal.
Om Namah Shivaya, man. I'm not going to...
The what now?
No, never mind. That was straight out of yoga. Sorry.
No good. Where do we go from guns?
I don't know. That was a buzzkill.
See, even when you don't have guns, you're still killing people. Or the mood.
Killing me softly with this podcast. I mean, I don't know. I just thought it was, I don't care if I ever see another gun, and I wish people would put their weapons down and just use pillows.
When you look at statistics, it's so funny and clear that if you buy a gun, it's so much more likely to hurt you than it is to hurt anyone else.
Right. And that was pretty clear to me.
Because that's, everybody says, oh, I'm buying for protection. People I know who have guns, they say, oh, yeah, I bought it for protection. And some of them have these fantasies where, oh, well, you know, there's going to be civil war, which I think there may well be at some point.
Oh, I think there may be
a
civil war.
But to think that you're going to have any impact, even if you have an AR-15, you're not going to have any impact because the troops will be fighting out. If the army splinters or whatever, if the army doesn't splinter, whichever side the army falls down on is the side that's going to be the new power for the United States, because you can't fight the United States military.
I don't think you can. I know. And these, like, one of my friends who I'm not really currently speaking to, but her husband was a real gunny, whatever. I don't know what you call them. And he started open carrying, and it had really made her very nervous. And so the last time I was at her house, it was just pre-pandemic, and I went over there, and she told me, she's like, I won't say his name in case, you know, but she's like, he's coming home, and he open carries, and I know how you feel about guns, and so he will be wearing it. And she goes, he wears it all the time in the house, and he sleeps with it next to him. And so this man walked in, washed his hands, said hello. We did all our little niceties, and then proceeded to, like, make a salad and sat down and ate a salad, you know, wearing a gun.
That's really silly, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm like, what? I mean, seriously, taking cantaloupe out of your refrigerator necessitates this? Like, you're sitting here with me. What the hell? And he's like, I know it makes you uncomfortable. And he just was really having, and I'm like, yeah, it does, and I need to leave. And so I watched this ridiculous behavior for about like 15 minutes and then said my goodbyes. And yeah, I never went back to her house. I mean, we, you know, things started, the pandemic and la-di-da. But that still is such a memory. I can still see that man going to the refrigerator, hauling out like salad things and a big bowl of cantaloupe.
I don't go walking around with my circular saw hanging off my belt.
Right. I mean,
it's
silly. I mean, I have this little.
Again, I think it gets this fantasy that they're going to actually have some kind of impact somewhere. They're going to be the good guy that shoots the bad guy.
I mean, we were doing a craft day with her daughter and the kids, and we were sewing and making stupid stuff. And I mean, seriously, like, we're a threat. You have to wear a gun in the house. You know, and there were children, you know, her grandkids were there with the mom.
You know what?
And
I'm not a big fan of this idea of toxic masculinity, but I think that's a good example of toxic
I didn't even name it. It was just stupid to me, and I couldn't wait to get out of the house.
And I'm not anti-gun. I know people who carry guns. I know people who conceal carry. Of course, now in Texas, the people I knew, this was back when I lived in Texas, mm-hmm. I knew a couple of people who conceal carry, and I understood why, and I supported them.
Right.
But that was back when you needed to get a license to conceal carry, and more importantly, you needed to get training, and that is something that is now lacking. In Texas, if this bill passes, you can conceal carry. Anybody can conceal carry. That you can go buy a gun and just conceal carry. I don't know who that's good for. That's not good for anybody.
It's not good for anyone.
There was I had a friend that was on the police department for A&M University. Mm-hmm. This was years ago, and I don't know what the law is there now. But there was a point at which the campus and the city was talking about allowing students to bring guns on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And the police department had already come to the conclusion that if this was passed, that the mandate for the police officers would be to, if you see someone with a gun, you shoot them.
Wow.
You don't ask questions. You don't wait, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if they're, quote, the good guy or the bad guy. If you see a gun, you shoot them.
Wow.
Which makes sense.
It's just so violent.
Well, yeah, I know, but so you don't want to put the cops in that position.
No, I don't want to put anyone in that position. But yeah, I don't know where to go from this discussion. But
well, my favorite gun is called the Answer, and it shoots explosive bullets, and it shoots it all the way across the map. I can snipe someone literally all the way across the map with one shot. But it's also a machine gun. So
what
I,
map?
I can, oh, whichever map we're playing in Halo 5.
Is it a real gun?
Well, in Halo 5, it's a real gun.
Oh, Halo 5. Oh, my God. I was, like, buying this.
Oh, you know what? Actually, the other one I love. Oh, there's another one. It's called a Void's Tear.
Okay.
And it's a plasma gun. So it shoots plasma bolts. But if you hold the trigger down and you overcharge it, mm-hmm. then it shoots a bolt that is not only a plasma bolt, but it creates a little black hole whatever it hits. So if it hits someone, it creates a little, and they spin around this like little, they spin around like rag dolls mm-hmm. around this little core that you've shot at them, and it usually kills them. If not, you know, it throws them, it can take a rocket and it can throw it off its course. I love that. That's a great way. See, if you're trying to capture somebody else's flag and you pepper their base with all these little black holes, it only persists for a few seconds, but, you know, they can't run across to get their flag because they're running across the black hole and they get spun around like a little doll and flung out of the way. I love
How
that
confused
thing.
Do I look right now?
I've never seen you more confused. What do you do to get someone's flag?
I don't go after flags. I'm still playing Farmville.
You just do Slayer?
No, I'm playing Tropic Escape. And to all my Tropic Escape
people. Well, what kind of guns do you have in that?
I don't have any guns. No, we plant corn and we make like surfboards.
Oh, and then you turn the guns into guns?
Tropic Escape.
I don't understand.
And those, like my Tropic Escape homies, like we have a little group. And I've been playing with some of these women for years. And they've gotten me through the pandemic. So thank you, Tropic Escape family.
So there are no guns?
There are no guns. We plant corn.
I don't understand.
We create surf shops and we make like things for cruises. People come in and do cruises and we make like Mai Tais, not Mai Tais, I don't know, whatever little drinks there are. And then we serve it to the guests and we win like prizes for our group. It's quite compelling. It's very relaxing.
Honestly, I tuned out.
I know you look like I did when you were talking about whatever the hell you were talking about with
the
plasma guns.
And the Void's Tear. There are some weird names for those weapons.
And this is all what?
Halo 5.
Yeah.
Well, Halo is a good game.
Okay.
It was anyway when it was originally came
is
out
it like
20
Call
years
of Duty?
Ago. It's like that, but, you know, you're either a Halo player or a Call of Duty player.
Okay.
I'm a Halo player.
Yeah, my cousin's husband evidently is a Call of Duty player, and he evidently approaches it as if it were a Call of Duty to the detriment of everything else in the house.
Hey,
He eats and he plays Call of Duty.
I am very careful. I only play at night after everyone else has gone to bed.
Got it.
And only for a couple of hours at most.
I check into the island periodically.
That's a little scary.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, so much for that. That really went off on a tangent.
Well, I was trying to bring it back. I got a little bit lighter. Guns, you know. So
guns
you
are
have,
heavy.
Do you have any other? You had a whole list of questions.
Oh, let me see. Let me go on.
No. Here and no further.
Okay, well, this is fun.
All right, what do you want to talk about next week?
I don't know. What do you think our listeners would like to hear about?
I don't care about them.
We've got all kinds of stuff. We have our life experiences. We have our thought process.
I just want you to shoot me.
We have our art. No, I'm not going to shoot anyone.
Just me?
No, no. It's your house. I mean, what would...
Well, my wife's a veterinarian. She can sew me up.
God. I think we could...
I want to see how powerful that handgun really is. I mean, okay. You don't think it's going to do anything, but I think it's got some power
to it. No, it's just tiny. It's just, I don't even know the thing to the gun.
Caliber?
I don't know the caliber and I don't know how to get to it. So, I don't know. What could we talk about? We could talk about Phoenix.
We'll keep him guessing.
Yeah. It's just too much right now to think about it. I don't know.
It's just too much pressure. Okay. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, James.
See you next week.
See you next week.